Praise God. Would you turn with me to St. John's Gospel and chapter 10? St. John's Gospel and chapter 10. You got it? Praise God. In my Bible, in this Bible that I've got at the moment, it's the heading is, I am the Good Shepherd.
Yes.
Amen? And He is. Praise His wonderful name. Chapter 10. Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep.
Amen.
One of the names for Jesus is I am the door.
Yes.
Yeah? Yes. And he's the door. He's the doorway. He is the good shepherd.
Yes.
Verse 3 says, to him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice. The doorkeeper is a person who, on a night time, when the shepherd has brought the sheep into the fold, the doorkeeper is a person that keeps the sheep inside. And the only person that he allows into the sheepfold the next day is actually the shepherd of those particular sheep. And so first of all, the doorkeeper has to recognize Jesus. And I believe at times, you know, we as the Church of Jesus Christ need to recognize when the very presence of the Lord Jesus is being intensified amongst us. And we need to recognize His presence, the presence of the Holy Spirit. And it goes on to say in that verse 3, it says, and the sheep, who's the sheep? Us, yeah, bah, us, we are, and we are the sheep, and it says, his sheep hear his voice. You know, so many people are looking to other voices, looking for other answers, looking for other ways, and Jesus is here saying, my sheep hear my voice. And then it goes on to even greater, it says in that verse 3, it says, he, the shepherd, his own sheep are known by name.
Amen.
Each and every one of you have a name.
Yes.
Not just David, Daniel, Eva, Ava, etc. But you have a given name. A name that God recognizes and a name that you will recognize when He calls your name. And that name, and in that, when He calls your name, He's calling you to lead you. And the shepherd leads his sheep. Now, particularly out in the Middle East, they took them out into the desert lands, they took them out into difficult growing land, really. And in some cases, as they went looking for pasture, there would be poisonous vegetation. And do you know something? The sheep are that dumb, they don't know the difference between poison and good grass. And so they would eat the poisonous stuff. So one of the reasons that the shepherd went before them was to check the ground. To make sure that the food that was there was good, was wholesome, and was the sheep would be able to digest it. And anything that wasn't good, he would pull it out and remove it, you see. And so, in that same way, God wants you and I to be digesting the goodness of the Word of God. He wants you to be hearing the truth of the Word of God. There are so many... These days we hear of many different churches who are preaching certain things and it's like, it's nowhere near what the Word of God. But they're using it to manipulate a congregation. They're using it to manipulate people. And it's a tragedy. And so we need to make sure that we're hearing the voice of God. And we've, you know, we encourage each and every one of you, start to hear the voice of God. Start to hear Him. He wants to speak to you.
Yeah.
You know, I often say, we go back to Genesis. When God came in the cool of the evening to spend time to communicate with His creation, Adam and Eve. And God has not changed His desire. His desire is so strong that He sent Jesus that He might restore that relationship.
Amen.
He is passionate about you. Read the Song of Solomon. God is absolutely passionate about His church. He's passionate about you as an individual. And so God wants you to hear His voice. He wants you to hear His sweet whispers to you. He wants you to be able to be falling in love with Him. We had a chorus that we used to sing, I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with Him. And that's what we need to do. We need to be falling in love with Him because the world wants to draw you away. Because the world does not understand true love. It understands a sensual love. It understands a lustful love. But it doesn't understand the true love that God has for you and for me. And that we, as we grow closer to Christ and we begin to reciprocate that love back to God. That is why Jesus came. And so in verse 4 it says, and He brings out His own sheep. He goes before them and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. And the only way you can follow Jesus is when you hear His voice, when you know His voice. And I know we've said, you know, some folk have said, well, I've never heard God. Well, that's the tragedy, because we need to bring you to a place where you are hearing God for yourself. That helps you to discern between the voices of the world, the strangers, as it says in the next verse. It says, yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him. And today the church needs to begin to hear the voice of God.
Amen.
And stop listening to the strangers, stop listening to the hirelings in churches. We need to hear what the Spirit's saying. We need to hear the voice of God speaking to us. Verse 7, Jesus said unto them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. He's our entrance into the presence of Almighty God. He's our rightful entrance into the very presence of Almighty God. Because of Jesus, we can come into the throne room of God and speak to our Heavenly Father. Wow, what a privilege it is for each and every one of us. Verse 8 says, and all who ever came before me are thieves and robbers. There were many that were coming before Jesus and saying, I'm the Messiah, I'm the Messiah, I'm the Messiah. And they were bringing uprisings and causing all sorts of issues at that time prior to Jesus' arrival. And so there was a lot of confusion. And the Pharisees weren't very happy. And the Sadducees were even sadder when Jesus turned up, doing all these miracles, saying that He was the Son of God. Blasphemy! You know? And that was their state of mind. Verse 8 says, all who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. They were able to discern. They were able to discern what is right, what is good, and what is evil. And we need to be a people with a discernment. It's part of the gifts of the Spirit.
Amen.
You know, we spoke about that a few weeks ago. Discerning. Discerning. It's for you today. Verse 9 again, he says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he or she will be, what does it say?
Saved.
You'll be saved. Hallelujah. Saved from a lost eternity. Saved from hell and damnation. And set free to enter into the presence of Almighty God. He will be saved, and I will go out, in and out, and find pasture. God is going to feed us. He's going to direct us. We are going to be led and directed together as we move forward in the things of the Spirit. And God will find green pastures for us. Pastures that are good to eat. Pastures that will bring fruitfulness. Verse 10 says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. God has not decided to shortchange you when He brought you into His kingdom. God has not decided to say that you can't have this, you can't have that, you're going to have to look miserable for the rest of your life, and you're just going to have to manage with what little bit you've got. God brought you into the kingdom to bring you into this fullness. To bring you into a relationship where you trust Him every day and where His provision will be seen. Jehovah Jireh, again we've talked about the names of God, didn't we? Jehovah Jireh, He is our provider. He provided for the children of Israel for 40 years in a wilderness experience where there's no supermarkets. He says their clothes never wore out. Wow. Shoes never wore out. That's a good job, isn't it? I mean, they must have covered some mileage. You know, it's beyond the natural understanding, isn't it? And you know, it wasn't until just recently that as I was thinking about this one, when, you know, I'm apt to mention that he fed, you know, over 2 million people. But hang on. They had flocks. They had animals. They had to be fed. In a desert. No grass. We've crossed Sinai, haven't we? There's nothing there but tanks, rotten, blown up, jeeps, and tanks, and armoured vehicles. That's all there is now. There ain't no grass. So what did the sheep, what did the camels, what did the donkeys eat? Manna. Oh, sacrilege, my God. They can't eat angel food, manna, feeding it to cattle. But that is exactly what they were doing. Wow.
The digestive system must have been changed.
Well, I mean, you know, God at work in such a powerful way, changing and bringing things into a new dimension. Our God is a God who can provide. And we have to learn to grow into that and believe God to provide beyond. This building is a provision beyond our financial abilities. Grace and I, our lives for the last 40 some years have been a provision beyond financial abilities. There have been times when, you know, I got a degree and I could do maths and did the sums, and it's like, not good this week, is it? We're in the red. Never missed a mortgage payment. Don't ask me how, because my maths did not work with God's maths. He has a different type of calculator to what I had. And he did far more abundantly all that we can ask or think. He's an amazing God, and I cannot say enough about trusting God and growing and going into a deeper way, and see God moving in power and might, because it's important to us. Where are we at? Verse 12. It says, "But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd." Just one who's hired to do the job. But his heart's not in it. Yeah. It's one who does not own the sheep. See, Jesus died on a cross. He shed his blood for you and for me. Mm-hmm. He owns us.
He does. Yeah.
He owns us. And I tell you what, he's the best owner you'll ever get.
Oh, man.
He's the best you'll ever get. Because he's always looking out for you. You know, the Word of God says his eye, there's a song in there, his eye is upon the sparrow.
Yeah.
And he watches over me. Wow. Sparrows are in decline in this country. God's eye is upon the sparrow. Out in the east, there were thousands of them. They were just all over the place. And so Jesus was using them to say, look, you know, all these sparrows, and yet God's got his eye on each one of them. Trying to emphasize the magnitude and the importance of who you are. What you mean to God himself.
Amen.
The creator of the universe. Of all things. And yet he looks at you and sees you and he says, he even knows the very number of hairs upon your head. Now that's astounding, isn't it? But he does. Because he loves us beyond a love that we can never fully understand, I don't think, at times. The hireling, one who does not own the sheep. And the hireling sees the wolf coming and he leaves the sheep and flees away. In other words, he leaves the sheep to be eaten. He leaves the sheep to be devoured. But the shepherd, verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and I am known by my sheep. They're his. He owns them. And because he owns them, he cares for them. It's like the story of the shepherd who goes looking for the one. But surely, you could say, you've got 99. Aren't you content with having 99? No. Because there's one missing. And I need to find it. Everyone is as important as the next one. Wow. Don't matter how old you are. Don't matter how young you are. Just as important. We sing as that chorus, every breath that I take, every moment I wake. He's there. I went to bed absolutely shattered last night. I don't think I slept a wink half of the night. But he was there.
Yeah.
And I was talking to him, and we were just talking about this last night, on and off. Then I'd try and go to sleep, but it weren't happening. But I know he's got his eye on me. And I know that when I'm weak, he's strong in me. And he'll make me stronger. And he cares for me. Verse 15, and as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep.
Wow.
That's where he is. Some of us might think, well, I'm not really worthy. Some of them might think, I've blown it this week, and why should God really be bothered about me? Why should he even cast a glance and look at me? I failed so many times this week in my own eyes. Why don't God just cast me off to one side and say, well, you're a waste of space, you're a waste of time? But he doesn't.
Never.
Because you're his. He cares for you. He says, and he will lay down his life for you. So no matter what you are going through, the shepherd's there with you.
Amen.
You know, when the sheep are wounded, the shepherd takes the oil and he begins to pour the oil into the wound and he begins to minister to the sheep. The real shepherd is a hands-on shepherd. He's there for you. Always there, ministering into your life. Caring for you, praying over you, praying for you. And then Jesus goes on to say, and this is where we really come into his own. And you know, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and the people around him and the Sadducees and he says this. And he says, and by the way, you lot, I have other sheep. What do you mean? You're a Jew. We are the chosen ones. We are the righteous ones. It's only us. The Gentiles, they're nothing. The pigs. And a pig to the Jew is like, don't go near it. That's where they looked upon us. And yet here Jesus is saying, he says, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, which are not of the tribes of Israel. You see, when Jesus came to redeem all of humanity. He came to redeem all of creation. You see, Adam was given the responsibility of all of creation that God had made. And he lost it. He surrendered it over to the devil. So Jesus came and he came to purchase everything back.
Amen.
To bring it back into correct and rightful order. And that is the plan of God. And that plan has never changed. And then he goes on to say, and he says, and them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and they will be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the only way. There is no other way to God than through Christ Jesus. There's not another way. Mohammed, Buddha, Confucius, all these others, these people, these religions, these faiths, whatever you want to call them, do not lead to the Lord, to God, because it all has to go through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He is the way. I am the way, the truth and the life. There is only one way, and that one way is through Jesus. The shepherd. The shepherd of our faith. The one who cares for us. Verse 17, therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up. Wow, what a position he's in. And I remember that when he came into that garden of Gethsemane, when the pressure was on, the enormity of the sins of the world were being laid upon him. Your sin, and you're not yet being born, was being laid upon him. My sin was being laid upon him. The sins of history were laid upon him. And he was paying the price. He was suffering for it. It says he sweat drops of blood. But he was paying the price. Do you remember he got to that point in the garden where he says, Father, not my will, but your will be done. You know, he said, Lord, if it's possible, take this cup from me, if there's another way. Wow. And he must have heard straight from the Father, no son. No son. This is the only way. God saw his son being crushed by the sins of the world. In agony. Physically, literally dying. See, when they hung him on the cross, they didn't kill him. It says he gave up his life. He surrendered his life. That you and I might have life with an abundance.
Amen.
That you and I might live in his presence forever. Hallelujah. He laid it down. He was able to take it up. This is my Jesus. This is your shepherd. This is your Lord. This is your Saviour. I want to encourage you to get to know him more. Have a deeper walk and relationship with him. In verse 27 it says, my sheep hear my voice. Well, let's look at 25, because the story goes that they start to question him again. They've accused him of healing people and casting out demons by Beelzebub, you know, anything. Anything. But he turns and he answers and said, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe, because you are not of my sheep. He told them straight. He didn't pull any punches. And the trouble today, so many ministers daren't offend their congregation because they might leave. You know, Timothy was told, don't hold back. The word's there to correct and to teach, to rebuke. And I know today, people don't like it, do they? Do you know what he said to me? I mean, I have been accused of preaching at people ever since I started preaching. I have been accused of preaching at people and saying, you were having a go at me from platform. And it's like, I ain't got a clue what you're on about. And then they start telling you what they've been doing and you're like, really? I never knew that. Oh, it's not me. I've told you, you know, I endeavour when I first come into church not to speak to anybody. I don't want to hear your troubles, trials and tribulations, because if God wants to speak through me and minister to you, then if I've not heard anything from you and you hear it from this side, you think, wow, that's God speaking to me. Yeah? Simple. And then you take it on board. And if God is sort of beginning to chastise us for something, it's not Andrew. It's not Grace. It's not Steve, Dave, whoever's speaking. But it's the Holy Spirit that's saying, hey, come on. Straighten up. Straighten up. Move forward with God. Verse 26, he says, but you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, we need to develop a sensitivity to hearing the Holy Spirit. We need to develop a sensitivity in our lives where we can hear God speaking to us. He goes on to say in that same verse 27, "And I know them." What does that mean? I know them. It's not just that your names are written down in the book of life, you know, Daniel, Pauline, John, Michelle. It's not like that. That know means it is a personal, he knows you. He's having conversation with you. He's having, what it really means is having fellowship with you. That's what it means. I know them and they know me. It's that fellowship, that relationship. It's not about just coming to church and saying, oh, I went to church on Sunday, I did 2 or 3 hours and that was it. You know, that's all I need to do now. Some people do. You know, some folk go to church and they manage an hour and say, I've been to church, yeah, I've done my bit. 1 hour out of 168 hours in the week. You didn't even give God 10% of your time. That's another point on tithing, isn't it? You didn't give God 10% of your time. 168 hours in a week. Think about it. I'll leave you to do the maths. If you can't, you can borrow my calculator afterwards. Praise God. He says, and they follow me. What does that mean? It means that the sheep are obedient to the Holy Spirit. The sheep are obedient to Jesus, to the Word of God. So we have to be sensitive. We have to have fellowship. We have to be obedient. And he goes on to say in verse 28, and I give them eternal life. He's the life giver. You breathe and move because of Jesus. Because God says you can. My father's just died at 94. He would have, 94 and a half basically. And we knew when the life source had left him. We sat at his bedside and read Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And he breathed his last and went. He's always with us, no matter what we're going through. But God, it is God who gives you life. Three times in my life that I can think of, I could have been killed. Twice my dad tried it. Under two cars. One his and one mine. Then I had to go on my own. But God has a plan. God has a purpose for us. And even when you're stupid and dumb and daft at times, God's still there. You know, oh, here we go, send the angels out, clear the way, sort him out, you know. He come to give us life, eternal life. He says, and they shall never perish.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand.
Amen.
Never perish. There the Lord is our security.
Yes.
You're secure.
Yeah. Absolutely.
In the presence of God. You have an assurance. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Nobody nothing shall snatch you out of his hand. I think it's in Romans where it talks about shall famine, pestilence, and there's a list that goes on and on and on. It says nothing shall separate you from the love of God.
Amen.
From the love of God. Even you can't do it. Thank God for that. You know, come on, let's be honest. If it's based on what we've done, right?
No.
I'm done. I'm out. You know, I shouldn't be here. Many times. But thank God it's not based on what I can do or what I've done. It's based on what Jesus has done. It's based on Jesus' capabilities and His abilities and His righteousness, not my righteousness, and on His love and compassion for me and for you as an individual. And that's what it's about. Because most of us should be under the ground by now. But we're not. And why are we not? Because God has a plan, He has a purpose, and He has a work for you to do. He has souls for you to win. He has people for you to touch with your hands, being the hands of the Lord Jesus, to see people healed, saved, and delivered, and set free.
Amen.
You live and breathe with Christ in you. The Christ, the Anointed One, is living and breathing through you. The very presence of a holy God. He's living in you. And you say, how's that happen? I don't know. All I needed to do was surrender. All to Jesus. I surrender all to Him. I freely give. Not that I got much to give. But you're offering this vessel. Lord, I surrender this vessel. For works of service. For the sake of the kingdom. For the sake that it will bring glory to God. And not to man. I offer this vessel. That's all I've got. And Father, you give it life. He breathes life into us. He breathes His Spirit into us. That's the life source of ours. That's the generator that gives us life. And as we let that flow, we shall see great things. We shall accomplish great things. Nobody, nothing, pestilence, famine, whatever the situation is, shall snatch you out of the hand of God. Hallelujah. We're secure through Christ Jesus. We have a security in Christ. If you read the next part of the chapter, the religious people threw a wobbler. They were picking stones up. They're going to stone him to death. That's how they used to do it, the Jews. Stone people to death. Lovely people, really, aren't they? You know, step out of line and we'll just throw a few rocks at you. I mean, they did it to Stephen. Stoned him to death. Shouldn't have done that because they're under Roman rule, and the Romans say, hey, if anybody's killing anybody, we're doing it. And they're going to stone him to death. He says, and he just walked through them and left them. Self-righteous. Don't become self-righteous. It's not godly. You know, Jesus upset them even more in verse 34. When they were accusing him, threatening to stone him, and Jesus answered and says, is it not written in your law you are gods. Oh. They didn't know what to do. He'd always got the answer. You know, Jesus is the answer. No matter what the problem is, Jesus will always be the answer. Amen. He's the good shepherd. Don't take your eyes off the shepherd. Don't shut your ears to the voice of the shepherd. Obey what he tells you to do. He didn't say understand. Oh Lord, I'll do it when I can understand it. I remember once at school doing maths and did not understand what I was doing. But I did it. I knew the formula, and I knew if I used that formula, I'd always get the right answer. But as to how that formula worked, I was clueless. But I stuck to the formula. It was later on that I learnt to understand it. But it took a while. But just because I didn't understand it did not mean I'm not going to use it.
No.
I mean, you drive a car, you haven't got a clue how the engine works and what have you. You don't say, well, I'm not going to drive a car until I understand how it works. I mean, I hate to say this, but some of these ladies haven't got a clue. They don't even know they've got a spare wheel, let alone, or a jack. Jack? Oh, I'm not taking Jack in my car. What do you think? What will neighbours think if I've got Jack in my car? Yeah, okay. It's like that woman that went to Petra's station in America. She went in and said to the guy, she said, I need some 710 for my car. 710. Yeah, she said, I need some. She was blonde, by the way. It's all right. I've got to go home with her. You're okay, don't worry about it. And she says, yeah, 710. I don't know what you mean. So she said, well, just a minute. So she whips back out to her car, lifts the bonnet up, unscrews this cap and takes it in. Come on, for goodness sakes, catch up with me. Says oil. All the way up, 710. I can see my jokes are wasted on you. Hey, I don't care, glory to Jesus. You know I love you all. We bless you in the name of Jesus for his goodness towards us. And thank the Lord that, you know, even in our weaknesses, he's our strength.
Yes.
Even in our foolishness, he's our wisdom.
Yes. Yes.
And he cares for us and he guides us and leads us on into his very presence. That's the plan. God intends to take you into his very presence. The sooner the better. And the sooner the church rises up in power and strength and shows the glory of God. And let there be a great revival of souls being saved to his praise and his glory. Pray for your family members. You know, we did teaching on the Lord's Prayer. Pray for your family members. Pray for our nation. Pray for our ministers in government. You might not like them. It doesn't say like them. It says pray for them. There's a difference. And if you pray for them, you never know, one day they might get to a place where you like them because they've changed their tactics and what they're doing and what they're saying and they're lining up with the Word of God. And it's all because you prayed. Amen. To old ladies in the, I think it was the Shetland Islands, we're praying for revival. Hebrides, we're praying for revival. And they were getting into their 80s and still praying for revival. And then they heard that somebody, they'd sent a letter for an evangelist to come. And so, he was on his way. But what happened when they went to the airport? He didn't arrive. He'd sent one of his other men along. They were absolutely devastated because they were looking to this man.
Yeah. No man.
He had his, this young man had his campaign. The Highland came to Christ. There was an absolute revival. God answered their prayers, but not the way they thought. So sometimes we pray and think, God will do it this way, won't he? God says, no, because I'm a God of miracles.
Amen.
I'm a God that does things differently. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's just pray. Father, we pray that each and every one of us would begin to understand you more, to grow closer to you. That, Lord, we would hear your voice, the voice of that shepherd, who will lead us and direct us, who will bring us into the fullness and to the blessing of the land.
Yeah.
Father, we thank you, Lord, that when the wild animals, when the beasts seek to come to devour us, that you are there. And that you will defend us.
Yes, you will.
And that you will keep us.
Thank you, Father.
Father, we thank you that you've made available a relationship, a fellowship, that we can come to you at any time with anything. And you will listen. And you will meet our needs. Father, help us to grow stronger in you. Help us to grow stronger together in you as we fellowship. And Father, help us to be a light in Doncaster. For you, Lord. Help us to be the people that you have called us to be. Father, I pray that each and every one of us will be being equipped by your Holy Spirit, and that we will make ourselves available to you.
Amen.
Whatever you want us to do, Lord, that we will do it for the praise and the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Lord bless you. Thank you.